This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. If I can get my seatbelt on, I am going to turn on the air conditioning today because it's a little warm. We've had beautiful weather all week, and it's not bad. It's 88 degrees. It's going to be a little warm in the house this weekend. We finally got our floor done, and they put some sealers on it, or they are putting a sealer on it. There was a little drama here and there, but we made it through. The floor looked really light in terms of the colors, and the colors looked really bright, as in bright lime green. But, you know, once they went in and started washing it off a little bit, then, you know, it darkened up, my wife said, and then it was going to dark up a little more with the sealer on it, so we're just believing it's going to be great. And even if it's not, we're going to be okay, because we're moving out of this house in 9 years. So anyways, yay! So part of this weekend is going to be spent, hopefully, shoving everything back into a semblance of order in the basement. And then once we do that, my wife will be able to get her craft room organized again so she can find stuff. You know, I'll be able to kind of get settled back into my office. So that'll be good. And we'll get the furniture back on the floor where it's supposed to go, as opposed to all piled up. That'll be good. Hopefully, it will all be good. We'll get some rugs, and bada bing, bada boom, and go from there. And hopefully, in all of this, I will hit my 10,000 word mark again for this week. I'm actually a little behind. I think I'm about 700 or 800 words behind where I'm supposed to be at this point, but that's not too bad. because I'm only slated for 1,500 words on Friday and 1,750 words on Saturday. And last Saturday, I did 2,500. And on Friday, I did 2,000 some. So, you know, we can make that up. Just a question of how much time I'm going to spend rearranging the basement. The book is slowly focusing up. I'm in the big, exciting, hopefully, action scene at the end, and I wasn't exactly sure how all the dominoes were going to fall, but they have started falling, and so, you know, that's always an interesting process. The fog has lifted enough to where I can see the next step that I need to make. And so then we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be, as I'm thinking about it, maybe we could do this. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It will be interesting to see. You know, when you're writing action stuff, you don't want to get too incredibly unbelievable. But by the same token, you want something where people read and go, oh, whoa, oh, okay, that person's talented. So I'm always looking for that person's talented without too much, you know, that would never happen. I think we can make that work. I'm even thinking about it right now. With doors on shuttles popping open and spinning maneuvers to get people. Yeah, all the cameras. Never mind. Stop thinking about it. So anyways, all is well. All is going there. We had a good work week this week. Had a few little excitement there on the end. With a couple of records not updating correctly, but we have the data. Everything is fine. We hope. I'm a little bit on the periphery of this one. So, there's little pieces of it that I haven't looked over. But we think we know where all those problems were, and I've made the suggestions, and other people are working on getting the updates done, and I think we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. What else? Book goes well. Family is well. New music ministers at church. Great. It's just good. Everything is good. I've had some wonderful breakfasts this week with friends. It's just so great. I love getting together with my friends and chatting. Got together with a buddy this morning. I was late. Ugh, I was so late. 15 minutes late. Unbelievably late for me. That's just crazy. But we had a real nice chat. We got on topics I didn't even think we were going to get onto. Really about the spirit world and the intrusions of the spirit world into our world and the layers of our world and how there's more here than we suspect. And it's really very, very interesting. I usually have more concrete, science-based discussions with this particular friend, so it was interesting that we headed off in that direction today. But we talked about all kinds of other stuff, and we're good. It's interesting, with this floor, there's been a chance for my beloved Lynette and I to work together as a team. And I think we did a pretty good job. I honestly think we did a pretty good job. there was a little drama as we were going along. I think I mentioned our basement had flooded because I wasn't managing the water coming off the roof correctly. That was back in December. I mentioned that. And so we finally got some people to come in and do the thing. And I may have mentioned that last week. So they came in. They were going to use just a hand buffer on some of the things, but they brought in their big buffer. And so that sort of changed the color of the concrete so that when we were picking a color, we were doing it against the gray. And so then when they sprayed the stuff down, we were like, that's really bright. But then, as I said, it's gotten kind of toned down. Well, in the process of all those discussions, there was a possibility that, we could put more dye on it and change it, but that was going to be a second application, so it was going to be more money, and, I was willing to do that, and Net and I talked back and forth, and we figured out, okay, we don't really think it's worth that money, but we actually were in agreement about it. We were coming at it from different perspectives, but we were in agreement about it, and there was a little bit of confusion as to whether or not we were going to seal the cracks. That was my fault. I didn't communicate well. But we got through that. That was fine. And then we've had discussions about what about the cats? How are we going to deal with the cats? Because at this point, from what I understand, there are VOCs, volatile organic chemicals downstairs. And we have sealed up the upstairs. We've left the windows shut and we've put plastic over the staircase down to the basement. And when they first started putting it on, Lynette said, "We're okay up here so far. Don't smell any stinkies." And we had turned off the air conditioning, so there was nothing to drag it upstairs. And they had opened the windows, and they were using fans to push it out. So my computer is down there in the utility room. And so if I'm going to upload this podcast today, I'm going to have to put on a mask probably and go down there and brave the VOCs. I will brave the VOCs. But it should be fine. But, looking back on it all, obviously there were a few moments when the flesh is trying to tell you, you just need to say this. You just tell it, shut up and sit down. Stop it. So anyways, in the midst of all that, I had put together some notes for today, for the podcast. great. A buddy, my godson, in fact, sent me a link to a podcast that Elizabeth Gilbert had done about her new book that's been released. Elizabeth Gilbert is the author who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. It was a huge success, unbelievable success. And she's been interesting to watch since that success. She had a fabulous TED Talk on the role of genius in our lives. Worth watching. Very interesting. Elizabeth Gilbert. And I did a podcast on that years ago. They all run together after a while. So that was good. That was good. But the podcast that she did on creativity and fear and why following your passion isn't the best way to say it. It sounds like a very good book. It does. And it sounds like she's using terminology that when she says these things, I'm like, you're describing the spirit. That is what that is. And the flesh. So we'll do that next week, because this is just going to be a short little reflection on something that I scampered across today on Facebook. It's really clickbait. Really is clickbait. And I'm really sort of saddened to see that Christianity Today is resorting to clickbait. And if they're not, I'm really saddened that the editorial board at Christianity Today doesn't have a better handle on the Christian experience. And when I saw it, I just thought, are you kidding me? And immediately my brain started going click, and I thought, you know, I'm changing the podcast. And we're getting some rain, as you can see. Thank you, God, for the rain. And there is sun out at the same time, so there's probably going to be a rainbow. Anyway, so the title of this article was, that popped up in my Facebook stream. I can't remember if somebody actually marked this and, you know, forwarded the link. Not to be offensive, but if they did, they don't really understand Christianity either, as far as I'm concerned. The title was, Christians Warned Against Practicing Yoga, comma, Other Forms of Eastern Meditation, colon, quote, Don't Anger God, unquote. I had the same reaction to this as I had to this big, long debate somebody was having on Facebook on whether it's a sin to get a tattoo. Oh, please. You know, when I see stuff like this, I just look at it cross-eyed. And I went and I actually read the article. And the article is quoting somebody else. It's quoting Charisma News, which apparently does not have a handle on the essentials of Christianity. And I think what had happened is there was a mommy blogger who wrote this article, and she was all excited that it had gotten picked up in Christianity Today. It is very exciting when you get a piece of your writing picked up in a magazine. That's very exciting. I'm just saddened that it was this piece of writing. Because her whole viewpoint, she's coming out of Deuteronomy, which should be a hint. She's coming out of Deuteronomy. The Lord will cut you off from before the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven that... Oh, wait. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations. Let's see. But when you have driven them out... I need to watch because it's raining real hard right now. When you have driven them out and settled in the land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same. You must worship not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away. Okay, now. Okay. All right. So this writer, she says, well, you know, yoga, people who do yoga, which happened to be me, people who do yoga think it's all just harmless. But, you know, Christians should know that whatever they do in their lives should be to glorify God. Yeah, well, I glorify God by getting physical exercise that causes me to be able to function better during the day, so I'm not thinking about the fact that my back is hurting. I'm actually giving my clients good work for the dollar they're paying me. Okay. So instead of practicing yoga or other forms of Zen Buddhism or Zen meditation, Christians who want to relieve stress in their lives should try biblical meditation. Well, okay, well, that's fine, but just to say all these things are bad, you know, without... Biblical meditation is done by speaking the word, muttering it to ourselves, mulling over it, and imagining how our lives should fit in the context. That's fine. There has also been a rich tradition in Christianity of contemplative meditation, also called centering prayer. There has been a rich history of this. And so just to say, well, you know, Zen Buddhism's bad because you empty your mind. Well, maybe Zen Buddhism is actually following something that Christianity started, or at least is similar, that people have found out it's a good thing to quiet themselves. And there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so anyway, some of the pitfalls of Eastern meditation. One, it empties the mind, giving Satan room to fill it with his deception. It focuses on self, stopping people from focusing on Christ. Okay, that's not quite true. It tries to relieve stress. Oh, rats. Yeah, okay, there it is. It tries to relieve stress, but man's problem is not stress. Ugh, I just love it when ads update. But man's problem is not stress, but one, a much more deeper one of pride, which springs from worry and fear that leads to stress. Okay, well, there's some truth in that. That's true. It focuses on man being in control of his self to achieve peace and tranquility and oneness, thus dethroning God. Okay, first of all, centering prayer doesn't do any of those things. Centering prayer is a way to quiet ourselves in humbleness and humility before God. That's centering prayer. Now, there's some people that will look at it and say, well, that just looks like Eastern mysticism. Okay, but here's the baseline. For me, with centering prayer or anything where you quiet yourself, what kind of God do we serve? If I am not seeking to be filled with Satan, I'm merely seeking to quiet myself and put myself at peace before God, do we really think that God is the type of God that is going to go, well, you know, you quieted yourself without explicitly praying to me, so I'm going to make sure Satan gets you. He's going to jump on you when you're not looking. What? In addition to all that. in addition to all that, there's this basic philosophy that I live by now, and there's a reason I live by this philosophy. And the philosophy is that I believe Paul, when he said in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God in Christ Jesus was reconciling the world to himself, and he no longer counts men's sins against them. That's a profound verse. And it means that the whole game changed at the crucifixion. It was no longer a rule book. Now it's grace. It's grace. And God deals with us in grace, not check boxes. And I can't figure out why anyone would want to go back to the check boxes when we have grace. You know, when we start talking about, well, you know, is getting a tattoo, is that sin? You know, if you don't eat the right foods, is that sin? If you don't take care of your body and you violate the temple, that's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God's going to get you for that. It's all just legalism. Because it's grace now. Because God no longer counts men's sins against them. I'm getting my mail. And when I say this, people get really uncomfortable. And they look at me and they kind of shudder a little bit and they say, well, you know, isn't that, what is this? You know, isn't that universalism? Are you a universalist? Okay, like, being a universalist is the worst thing in the world. And my response is always, I look back at them and I say, okay, why wouldn't someone want to be a universalist? Why wouldn't we want everybody to get to heaven? What's so bad about that? And then I look at him and I say, but I am not a universalist because I believe in free will. I believe that God will not violate people's free will, and if they are bound and determined to spend an eternity separated from God, I'm backing into my garage, God's gonna let them do that. And so no, I am not a universalist, even though I do believe that God no longer counts men's sins against them, because that's what Paul said. And Paul may have had his own opinions on some things, but this he states down as doctrine. Look it up. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and following. And there's a whole lot of interesting other stuff in there as well. But there's one huge reason that I have taken the approach that I have taken in life. And that is this. There is going to come a day when we are going to stand before the throne and our works are going to be examined. And when God examines my work and my heart and my life, and he says to me, why did you do the things that you did? Why did you tell people that I was all loving and I no longer counted men's sins against them? I will say, because of what Jesus said, I will say, because of what Jesus taught us to do in the Sermon on the Mount, I will say, because what your servant Paul told us about love, what your servant John the Beloved told us about love, and because of what Paul said when he said that God in Christ Jesus was reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them. And I decided I would put down my life on grace and mercy and generosity and love. That's where I would anchor myself. Because there is a law of reciprocity in the world. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And when I saw all of that writing about love, I looked at the writing about checklists and vengeance and anger and judgment, and I said, there are things I do not understand about God's revelation, but I do understand love. And I am going to treat everyone around me as much as I am able with love, so that when I stand before him, he can look at me and offer to me what I have offered to others. So I ask you, when you stand before God, would you rather say, I conducted my life with kindness and generosity allowing people to find their paths to Jesus, helping them find their paths to Jesus with kindness and mercy and grace. Because that's how I want to be treated. Or would I rather stand before God and when he says, why did you do what you do? And I said, well, you know, I read all those scriptures in the Old Testament and you had certain standards and there were checklists that people needed to go by. And so I was making sure that they were checking off those checklists. Yeah. I don't think I want to be judged by that standard. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.